In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Last week, we explored that truth by asking the questions, what is all this? Who brought it about? When did it occur? And how did he do it? And so we're going to move on this morning in Genesis chapter 1. Now, I stated last week that in Genesis 1:1, the unregenerate person cannot believe it. Only a born-again, regenerate person can believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, when we think about creation, we bring up scientific theories, theory of evolution, and the temptation might be to turn this into a classroom debate of creationism versus scientific evolution. We just can't let that happen. We are here for the purpose of truth, for the purpose of worship, and that's what we will pursue. This is spiritual truth for us. So at least we can say two great things about Genesis chapter 1, is that the greatest observable fact known to man is the fact of the heavens and the earth. That's fact. We observe that. The greatest fact known by revelation is the existence of God. God, the Creator. So our approach is to know Him and to worship Him and to serve Him. And the burden for truth is not for the Christian to fit the Bible into scientific theories, but the burden for truth is for scientific theories to conform to God's revelation of truth. So we need not be intimidated by biblical critics. The confidence is in the truth, and the truth only comes from God as He reveals it. So we accept that truth, and we don't have the burden to try to answer all the questions and all the problems that may arise. We have the truth. Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now that's what we want to think about together this morning. What a humbling thing it is to read these verses and consider God Himself. And the awesome creation, the heavens and the earth, and all that's involved in that truth. Let us humbly approach the consideration of these truths. Now there are five basic views of creation, the universe, or at least its existence. Let me just review these quickly. Number one is atheistic evolution. And we all know enough about the evolutionary theory and how they view the evolvement of matter into what we have today. Basically, no God, a materialistic universe with not much dealing with origin, except to say that the material evolved itself. Now, for the Christian, it's easy. We just rule that out because we believe in the creation by God. A second theory is theistic evolution. The acknowledgement of God and that God created and that he used the evolutionary process to bring about what we have today. A third theory is called progressive evolution, and that is that God created over long periods of time, and that attempts to solve the dating of evolutionary scientists. A fourth theory is called the gap theory, and that involves what we read this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And some say, well, what happened? God created, and now there's a problem. The earth was without form and void. And the interestingly, Hebrew words are tohu and bohu. So you could read it like this. And the earth was tohu and bohu. Now, you can remember that. Where there was a problem. They say, with the gap theory, something happened. A catastrophic event and a possible translation of the verb to became rather than was. The earth was without form and void, or the earth became without form and void. So a gap theorist would say, God created, a catastrophe occurred, and the rest of Genesis is a reconstruction. A theory is that there was the fall of Satan, which caused this, quote, disorder. And so that is probably the most popular theory held by evangelical Christians through the years. And this theory for them solves the long geological ages. My own personal view, just in this regard, is that there is the creation of the earth, and it's a planet covered by an uninterrupted ocean, that the waters covered the earth. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and God divided the waters from the waters. The earth wrapped in darkness, no land to see, no life was present, and the Spirit of God was hovering, working, acting, bringing about the earth as we more as we see it today. So there are these theories. The final one is the six-day creationism, not necessarily a theory because it's biblical, and we'll get into the 6 days of creation. The question would be, are these six 24-hour days, or do they represent six periods of time? And that, of course, is the controversy. The six-day creation biblical presentation deserves our utmost attention, because it's here, that's what it says. It is biblical. The answer to the fossils and the geologists and the astronomers who claim billions of years ago and so on, most of those are satisfied by our discoveries in the flood. If you want to get ahead of what we're doing, you might pick up a book by Henry Morris from the Creation Research Institute in San Diego regarding the flood, which I consider to be the most significant book in our time regarding creation, evolution, and so on. A final answer is not yet known to answer all the questions and all the problems that arise. Now you may say, Bill, does that sort of leave us hanging? Do we not have something great? Yes, we do. We have truth. We have the truth revealed by God, what he said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was active over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light. It was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. That is not empty. That is God's truth. That is what I believe. That is what you can accept. That's where you can hang your life. This is the truth. What do we have here? We have God. In the beginning, God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all active in creation. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1 declare Christ is the Creator. So while we don't answer everything, it is enough for me that I have my God. We have God. We have God's creation. No matter what the process, he is the Creator. And we have the existence of man. This humanity running around here. Sometimes I'm out in public and I look at a football stadium or something and see, just begin to think of the number of people that God created. Lord, why did you create so many people? Billions. How many on the earth this morning? I've lost count. It's toward 3 billion people, I think, is our population. And then, so so various, diversified. I think when I go to Disneyland, I spend most of my time sitting on a bench watching people. That's very entertaining for me. The other evening, we were in the Laguna Mall. And so there was a penny sale. So Faye's going to look, and I'm going to look. And of course, I'm not going to shop as long as she does. So we make a deal. We'll meet in an hour. Okay. I spent 50 minutes of my hour sitting on a bench right in the center where people go to all different things. All kinds of people. Humanity. Where did we come from? We did not come from the sea. We did not come from the animal world. We came from God's creation. Just think of Adam and Eve in their humanity, created by God. Probably before they sinned, the most intelligent people that ever lived. In a sense, the most handsome and the most perfect physically that human beings could possibly be. No mar, no blemish, physically or morally, innocent of sin. God, that's what we have. We have something solid to think about. We have man. How do we understand the turmoil, the problem, the crime that's going on in the world? We know about sin. We come to Genesis 3. What's the problem? Sin. What else do we know? We know salvation. Adam and Eve sinned and God came to them, didn't leave them then. Provided a sacrifice for their sin. So while I'm saying a final answer to all the questions and problems that arise, we have something great. And we take second place to no one. We are not intimidated by critics. We have God. We have God's creation. And we understand the existence of humanity, the problems with the world today, and salvation. That is wonderful. Now, a thing that I think should grab our attention this morning is the matter of light and darkness. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So we have a God who can see. God saw the light. We have a God who can act. Now, while the Bible says, and God spoke, God said it, and there was light, what is behind that? Well, it's his will. God willed the light. The most powerful force in the universe is the will of God. Nothing, no one can ever overcome or thwart his will. And just yesterday, we heard somebody, a television speaker in a church, saying something about God will do this if you let him. It's almost insanity for a human being to believe that we're going to obstruct something God wants to do by our puny, measly, so-called free will. It's so absurd. God's will produce the light. And the opposite of light is the darkness. God created the light. And light is essential to life. And light comes from God. We ought to worship Him for that. If there's nothing else to be thankful for, thank God for the light. What if human beings had to exist in darkness? Darkness is an awful thing. It's one of the plagues that God sent on Egypt. You ever hear of fog being so thick you can cut it with a knife? Darkness gets that one. Real darkness is an awful thing. And so God created light and He said it's good. And I say, amen, Lord, light is good. I love the light. I love the longer days when it doesn't get dark so quick. And darkness is hard. By the way, just as a side, a little commercial here. Be careful of bringing problems to each other at night. Marriage conflicts should not be discussed, particularly at bedtime. It's harder to handle in the dark. Save it till there's light. Darkness is tough. Now we look at this spiritually. The Bible says there are two kingdoms: the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And that's just explained all over Colossians chapter 1 is an explanation of that. You can read Paul's prayer, verses 9 through 14. He says that God qualified us and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. They are two kingdoms. They are two realms. It's spiritual. Who is involved in the kingdom of darkness? Satan. The angels who disobeyed and followed him and became demons exist in a kingdom of darkness. And every unbeliever is living in the kingdom of darkness without the truth. Now that's hard. They are living in the kingdom of darkness. Who are they? The people we know and love? Relatives, neighbors, people? Grandpas, grandmas, moms and dads, young people? Every unbeliever is in the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of light is the kingdom of truth. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of falsehood. Now, who is in the kingdom of light? The Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the holy angels, who did not follow Satan and God's elect are in the kingdom of light. But for the elect, there must be a transfer, because we all start out with the sin nature, unsaved, in the kingdom of darkness, and we must be taken out of this kingdom and put over here, placed over here. God does that. That's His grace. And this morning we ought to be thankful for that, because there's no way we could get from this kingdom to this kingdom on our own. God chose us to be here, and then He brought about the transaction that put us here. And the word that is used in Colossians 1 is that we have been translated or transferred into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light is our position. God is light, which means God is truth. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. That's a great position to be in. And we read, the Bible says here, God separated the light from the darkness. That's what He's done for us. He translated us over here to set us apart from the darkness. We are in that kingdom of light. God separated the light from the darkness, and He called the light day, and He called the darkness night. And some suggest that when this happened, that it's the beginning of the rotation of the earth, which brings about night and day. And so we have that. And what this is speaking of is good and evil, truth and falsehood, the light given by God. Jesus, in John 1, we learn that in Him was life, and the life is the light of men. Jesus said, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall see the light of life. Do you have anything to be thankful for this morning? Go home and spend the afternoon thanking God for Genesis 1:1-5. You have God. You know about creation, you know about man, you know about sin, you know about salvation, and you have been delivered and transferred into the kingdom of life. God sees the light. Now here's a glorious thing that Spurgeon discusses. God sees the light in you, because He put it there. And God says it's good. Then Spurgeon goes on to say, when you're down and you're pretty much in despair over your sin, in a sense, he says, you haven't even started. You're worse than you think you are. That's true. Totally depraved. But you know what God sees? God sees the light He put in you. And God says, you're good. And knowing that helps us get out from under this burden we carry because of us. If God put you in the light, live in the light and enjoy the light. And in John 1, we read that the darkness could not overcome the light. Cannot. Whatever we may feel about ourselves and the sin that we commit will never overcome the light of our salvation. It's secure, and God sees the light. I just hope and pray that all of us could rejoice in that truth and enjoy the Lord, the God of creation and the God of salvation, and live in the light of His fellowship and understand that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before You to thank You that You are God in authority, in power, in glory, in majesty. And gladly we bow in worship. And Lord, we think highly of You, and rightly so. We thank You this morning for the truth of Genesis 1:1-5. And dear Holy Spirit, as You hovered over the water there in the beginning of creation, we thank You that You have hovered over our lives while we were yet in darkness, and that You moved upon us and in us. And this morning we are here not void and empty, but we are here full of truth and full of light and walking in the light. We thank You. We praise You. We love You. Help us this day and in days to come to understand more of Genesis chapter 1. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.